out of breath. This guy is a f***ing joke.
With five laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. And he just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony man, vomiting. Going out, vomiting. We're going to drive.
Understood. Box.
Welcome back to another episode of Purple Sector. This is going to be the rare solo show today because Moot has left me quite literally high and dry for basically the next 8 to 9 days. He's not back until late next week, so I will be flying solo. I'm going to need as much help as I can get from the listeners. I want you guys to pack the mailbox box this week because it'll help me out a lot. Here's how you do that and also how you can help the show.
Thanks for tuning in to Purple Sector. Remember to reach out to the show by pitting in the mail box.
Instructions to box.
You can leave a voicemail or shoot a text to 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. You can also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to follow both those accounts as well.
Follow me on Instagram.
You can also get additional content on our YouTube by subscribing to Purple Sector F1 Podcast. Finally, be sure to subscribe to Purple Sector wherever you get your podcasts. Review the show and throw us 5 stars at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. See y'all on the track.
And that is all the talking that Helmut will be doing on this episode. So thanks a lot, Moot. So you heard the man. Fill up that mailbox box for me, and we'll get to it this week. Speaking of which, I'm going to go right into the mailbox box today, and then we're going to do a little bit of news. And there's also some impromptu Purple Sector Jeopardy in this episode for all of you. So if you like F1 trivia, stay tuned. But for now, here's the mailbox box.
Box.
So Floor Van Ende from the Netherlands hit us up on Instagram. She was at the Goodwood Festival of Speed over the weekend, which is awesome. If you are not familiar with that event, it is in the UK. It happens every year, and it's always a lot of fun. If you go, you will see F1 drivers. You will see F1 cars, lots of classic cars. They race them. They wreck them. Every year, somebody wrecks a classic car. It's one of the cooler events you can go to. Flora was lucky enough to go. She sent us a bunch of cool pictures. She was lucky enough to get up close and personal with Ayrton Senna's championship-winning 1990 McLaren MP4/5B. It's a beautiful car. You've probably all seen it. It's that classic, you know, Marlboro white and red livery. This one in particular was the 1991. She literally got behind the ropes, got to take a picture right next to it. Legendary car. Legendary car. Cheers, Floor. Just amazing stuff. Very jealous. Next up is Samantha G from the USA hit us up on the gram. She was clarifying her Formula Brunch pictures because we asked what drink she was having. She said, "My brunch drink was a hibiscus lemonade mimosa." Sounds very exotic. "I got stuck going to a fancy million-course brunch in Villanova, so I was streaming the race with one AirPod in and had 3 waiters walking by every 3 minutes for updates. Laughing, crying face emoji." Yeah, you know what? You're awesome. Those waiters probably loved you for that exact reason. I don't blame them. Very cool. You are a loyal Formula Bruncher, Samantha. We love it. Next up is Sam Corbin from the USA. He sent us a text message. He said, "What's up, guys? I'm calling it right now. I have absolutely zero faith in Ferrari's ability to develop their car throughout the season. If Mercedes can't compete with Red Bull and Ferrari at Silverstone, I'm afraid Max and Red Bull are going to continue to wax the field and run away with both championships this year. Hashtag stop the pain." Very funny. I tend to agree, Sam, about Ferrari because they, you know, it's been so long since any of us have seen them actually develop the car forwards substantially in a season. So I'm right there with you. I think if anybody's going to catch Red Bull, it's going to be Red Bull catching themselves with reliability issues or something, or Mercedes potentially catching them. I don't know. Ferrari has really good one-lap pace, but that's not what F1's about. It's about your pace throughout the whole weekend. especially on Sunday, which Ferrari is wanting on Sundays. So I don't know, man. I agree. It's not looking good if you are anything but a Red Bull fan. Moving on. Sean Walsh from the USA hit us up on Instagram, and I love this. So apparently one of the categories on Jeopardy last night was F1 Grand Prix sights. I searched high and low to see if I could find any audio from it, but there's nothing, only pictures on Twitter and stuff. But Sean was kind enough to let us know. He said, the Jeopardy category tonight was F1 Grand Prix sights, and the contestants avoided it till the very end. Shame on them. He said, the answers were the Indy 500 talking about a Triple Crown weekend in May, Singapore, the clue had Marina Bay in it, Sochi, the clue talked about the 2014 Olympics, Azerbaijan referenced Baku, and then last but not least, I believe it was the $1,000 question. It was a picture of Lewis Hamilton and said part of the Silverstone track is named after him, and you had to name Lewis Hamilton for the answer. You had to say, who is Lewis Hamilton? How funny is that? If you can't get that right on Jeopardy, you're a loser. I'm sorry. Anyways, I believe they got all of them right, which is surprising, but also good. It just shows you how popular F1 is. But anyways, this inspired me, Sean. Here is a little impromptu Purple Sector F1 Jeopardy for you and all the listeners. I'm going to give you all 4 or 5 seconds to answer, and then I will tell you the answer, right? So come up with your answer relatively quickly. Here's 3 questions, okay? We're going to do it Jeopardy style, right? So this is, I'm going to do my best Alex Trebek impression here. This driver is the only driver in F1 history to not win a championship despite winning 8 races or more in a season. Think hard, because I'm about to give you the answer. 2, 1. Who is Lewis Hamilton? And it's happened to him twice, believe it or not. In 2016, he won 10 races and still lost the championship. And most recently, in 2021, Lewis won 8 races and still lost the championship. He's the only driver to ever win 8 races or more and lose the championship, and he's done it twice. Next question. This is a fun one. In fact, they're all fun, but check this one out. This condom brand sponsored an F1 team in 1976, causing several races to be blacked out on TV by the BBC as a result of the controversial sponsorship. So let me read that again. This condom brand sponsored an F1 team in 1976, causing several races to be blacked out on TV by the BBC as a result of the controversial sponsorship. Absolutely hilarious. All right, think about your answer. It's a condom brand. So you got like a 50-50 shot here. 3, 2, 1. What is Durex? John Surtees' team in 1976 sponsored the car with Durex. It was very controversial. Shouldn't have been, because, you know, there was plenty of other vice sponsors back then. But anyways, also, that 1976 is a legendary championship. That is the classic battle between Niki Lauda and James Hunt. There's even a movie about it called Rush. And part of that season was marred by this goddamn condom car. The Brits didn't like it. The BBC hated it. And they blacked out some races on TV as a result. I find that hilarious. All right, last question. If you've gone 2 for 2, you are a Formula One nut. Here we go. This driver made his shock F1 debut after a team needed to find a replacement for their main driver, who was in prison for tear gassing a taxi driver. Yes, you heard that correctly. So think of your answer now. Like I said, these are all very fun. Think of your answer. 3, 2, 1. The answer is, who is Michael Schumacher? Or as someone likes to say, Michael Schumacher. So that is your answer. Michael Schumacher got his shock debut drive courtesy of Bertrand Gachot tear gassing a fucking taxi driver in a road rage incident. They both got out of the cars to fight. He whipped out some tear gas like a weirdo and tear gassed a taxi driver. I mean, just unbelievable stuff. And no one ever heard from that guy again because he went to jail for like 9 months, and Michael Schumacher, the rest is history. He went on to win 7 world championships. So that guy, you know, To put it bluntly, he blew it. Amazing stuff. All right, let's move on to the news here. I only have two stories today. This is going to be a very short episode. Like I said, I'm flying solo. I need all the help I can get from the listeners. Fill up that mailbox, box, box, and let's hit this news. All right, your first story is a good one. Here's the headline. Daniel Ricciardo is executive producing a scripted F1 series with Hulu. So when I read this, this broke yesterday, I believe. This blew my mind, mainly because Formula One is just reaching an absolute fever pitch. Hollywood wants to get all up in the business of F1, and I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. I say that because when Hollywood does this, they tend to do a bad job. They just see a new market, and they just start salivating, and they overdo it, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens here. I bring it up because, do you remember when Hollywood was all hot to trot for video game movies? Remember the first handful of video game movies that came out? They were awful. The Super Mario Brothers live-action movie with John Leguizamo was terrible. The Mortal Kombat movies were terrible. The Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Terrible. They were all the worst movies you've ever seen. I mean, some of them are so bad they're good, but the point remains that they were all box office disasters. They were also cinematic disasters. I really hope that's not what's going to happen here with F1, because we already have Netflix doing an F1 mafia movie with Robert De Niro and John Boyega. That sounds like it's going to be hot garbage. Then we also have the Lewis Hamilton and Brad Pitt F1 movie that's coming out. That will probably actually be good because I trust Lewis and Brad to put their heads together and come up with something good. Plus, Jerry Bruckheimer's producing that, so I think you can rest easy with that one. But this, I don't know, a scripted F1 series with Daniel Ricciardo executive producing? By the way, it's going to be 30-minute episodes. What does that remind you of? Seems a little short to me. Reminds me of Entourage. Remember how ridiculously short some episodes of Entourage were? Some of them were like 21 minutes. So I'm getting the same vibes here. I expect this to be like the Entourage of F1. Daniel Ricciardo, it's going to be all Daniel Ricciardo got the seat, yo. Just like Vinny got the movie. It's going to be the same stuff. And I just hope it's not cheesy. I hope it's entertaining. It doesn't have to be high art for me. It just has to be entertaining. So, I don't know. Cross your fingers. I don't have high hopes, but I'm kind of a pessimist. Maybe some of you can talk me into it. Next. All right, so this happened earlier this week. ESPN won the contract for F1 TV rights in the U.S. through 2025. So this is a big deal here, in my opinion. So just to show the growth of F1 in this country over the last 4 years, ESPN's old contract was worth $5 million a year. They paid $5 million a year for 3 years to host the TV rights for F1. It's now going to cost them $75 to $90 million a year, every year, through 2025. So that just shows you the explosion, shows you that ESPN wants it. They're willing to pay a big chunk of change for it. And some people were willing to pay more, but there are a couple details that apparently F1 was persnickety about. Mainly, F1 and having all of their races on a streaming service, aka not available on TV, was a big sticking point for them. It's probably why Peacock didn't win it. It's probably why Amazon didn't win it. And it's most definitely why Netflix didn't win it. So that's interesting. I wonder what their long-term thinking is there. So a lot of the questions that people had heading into this bidding war was, what's going to happen with F1 TV in the U.S.? Because it's possible F1 TV will eventually get banned for U.S. customers if, you know, a U.S. TV network like ESPN is willing to pay enough money to say to F1, hey, you can't let people stream it on F1 TV in this country with the amount we're paying. That's entirely possible. For now, it seems F1 TV is safe, though, because ESPN has said that they're going to be putting a small portion of the races on their ESPN Plus platform, which is their streaming platform. So, like, probably three races will be behind a streaming paywall. And I'm guessing it's going to be the super late-night races. It's going to be, like, Australia, Singapore. Any of these races that are on at, like, 2 a.m., they're going to put behind that paywall because they know it's going to be that lures viewership anyways. Might as well get some extra money out of it. So that's my prediction. I hope in the long term that F1 TV is safe in the U.S. because it's pretty established now. I believe it's been around for 4 years now, maybe 3 years, but I believe it's 4 years. I think that's long enough now that enough people have gotten on board and they like it, and Liberty Media sees the money that it can generate and they see the potential for it. So I hope that it sticks around for that reason. Also, they've expanded the content. Like, there was nothing content-wise outside of the races and quali and practice when F1 TV first came out. But now they've got all kinds of stuff. They've got Julian Palmer's analysis. They've got the Tech TV, Tech Talk TV, or whatever they call it. They've got a post-quali show, a post-race show, a weekend debrief, a weekend pregame show. They've got all this great content, in my opinion. That's why I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Liberty Media has shown continued investment in that platform. I think they will fight to keep it available, and I hope they do. Like I said, let me know what you think in the mailbox, box, box. I need all the help I could get this week and next before Helmut gets back. I might even have to do, you know, the race recap for the British Grand Prix by myself if Moot isn't able to get on the phone with me. So, again, get your phones out, hit us up, re-listen to that promo from the beginning of the episode, and hit that mailbox, box, box. It will be greatly appreciated. That's it for this episode. I'm out of gas here. My outline is exhausted. I will have more later this week for the preview for the British Grand Prix. And please, I've said it like 20 times this episode, hit up that mailbox, box, box, and help our guy out. It's much appreciated, and we'll see you all on the track.
Purple Sector. It's purple. Purple.
Three purple sectors.
Three purple sectors.
Yeah, the car is terrible to drive. Very difficult.
I want to change things. I want to stop Mercedes dominating.
Honestly, what are we doing? Racing or pink block?
Okay, Lewis, close that gap as much as you can. It's hammer time.
It's not getting the full flat.
How did you call that last lap incident? Brainless.
Daniel, a hard-fought fourth place in the end for you.
Hard-fought? Not really. I thought that was boring.
So I think we can call Max Verstappen the baby-faced assassin.
I think we clench our butt cheeks and hope we stay there to the end, Martin.
I'm driving like a grandma.
What the f***?
Looks like my wife's driving that car.
Yeah, tell the safety car to slow down.
He's stroking that Ferrari.
I know I'm losing time for Vettel, but I really don't care.
They are racing.
So it's happy hour, basically.
People just simply don't have the balls to stick to what they say.
Mamma mia, what the hell is going on?
A firm boundary position, stay as they are. We'll talk about it after the race.
We are here to race and not to just hang out, so...